This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Dystopical. And this evening, we're talking about relationships, all kinds of relationships, what kind of forms they take in...
What was that?
What kind of forms they take in lesbian land. And, of course, the rather hairy issue of cheating. And of course, on air this evening, we have Kat as usual.
Hello.
And a lovely friend of ours, a good friend down from Cairns, actually. Hello, Kitty.
Hello, Melbourne girls. Thank you for having me back again.
It's a pleasure, as always.
In my long johns.
Yes, it is. A little cold, isn't it?
It's 28 at home. But anyway.
That's great. I'm glad that you're happy to be here. So during the show, if you would like to tell us your opinion, you can text us on 0427JOY949. You can Facebook us at Dystopical, which is DYSTOPICAL. We like to make it as difficult as possible for... no good reason. Or email us at dear.dystopical@gmail.com or dystopical@joy.org.au. And I think first we are going to talk about what cheating actually is.
Dun, dun, dun.
But I think first we're going to cut to a track.
Let's cut to a track.
Yeah, so you've picked the music for this evening, Katie.
As usual, I get the music.
Do you want to tell us what we're going to be listening to this
evening? We're going to start off with the Beatles. We're going on the relationship track for a few of the songs. And we're going to start off with Oh Darling.
All right, here we go. Amazing. So,
I had a really good dance.
Can you just walk us through what we were listening to there? Because you're obviously immensely excited, and I want to be excited with you.
Fareen wasn't feeling it.
She wasn't. I had to take my jumper off because Kat and I were actually dancing so much around the studio.
I was kind of feeling it a little
bit. You felt the little riff of the guitar
just
at the end.
Just a little bit there.
Okay, so you've got your Dirty Diana there by Michael Jackson mixed in with Teenage Dream by Katy Perry, which Kat knew all the words to, people.
Did not.
Looking down on you now.
Apparently Glee is to blame. It's a remix. It's been around for a little while, and it's a perfect element of a perfect relationship that Katy Perry was having with the tormented relationship with Diana that Michael Jackson was having to segue one of my many segues tonight as into cheating tonight.
So let's talk about cheating. Now, you seem to have pulled together this amazing list of top 9 reasons.
Katie, it's why do you know so much about it?
Not 10, but the top
I've got the top 9 because my girlfriend and I currently, we don't like even numbers. We've decided it's something that we have in common.
She said we. I'm going to throw
it. I did the we statement. I'm so going to cough it for that. I and my girlfriend don't like even numbers, so I've made the top 9. You ready for it?
Yes.
Yes. Right. So this is the top 9 reasons why people cheat.
I reckon it's kind of in order too. Number 1, revenge.
Oh.
It hits deep, doesn't it? It hits deep.
Yeah. I don't know if... Do you really think that's the top reason why people cheat?
All right, so it's not in order. I think revenge is for a break in trust in the relationship. It doesn't necessarily have to be because somebody else cheated, but a break in trust, so you're getting back at them.
I think it does reflect a breakdown in a relationship, yep. And if it's kind of happening on one side, then it's happening on the other side. Not necessarily for revenge, though.
Well, no, but I think that can be a reason.
Yes. I've got 8 more to go.
Yeah, maybe you'll like one of those, Fareen. Okay,
Fareen,
just be patient.
Do you like this one? Feeling unappreciated in a relationship.
I do like that one, actually. Yep.
Do you like to feel unappreciated in a relationship?
No, I like that reason, and I think that that's also, I guess, and I really see these as symptoms of kind of relationships gone wrong or gone bad
or breakdown in communication.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. I think it's important to tell your partner that you like them
and love them, even and do things with them.
Yeah,
pay attention.
Yes,
look deep. Deeply in their eyes.
The little things.
I actually think, I'm just going to be serious for a moment. I think it's actually genuinely very important.
Yes.
I thought Kat was going to say, I'm just going to spew now. all right, number three coming in. We have had this debate in another radio segment that we've had. The honeymoon is over.
Oh.
So as in you're bored?
As in the honeymoon period is over and, you know, the hair grows.
As in you're not into having sex with that person anymore?
Well, the honeymoon period's over. So when you remember when we did when you've got the endorphins going on?
Oh,
yeah,
of course,
back
yep.
to then. Yep. So you've got those sex endorphins going on, which I
oxytocin.
Could rip off. Thank you. No, that's the cuddling one. So that would be this one.
Nice try that.
That was good though. Okay, number four is boring sex. Mm. I'm sure we've all had it and we've all faked it.
No comment.
No denials either.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't cheat for that reason. I'd break up for that reason.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
That's a pretty strong statement to make.
I don't do boring sex. No.
Can you
no.
do...
Life's too short.
Can you do...
You wouldn't find yourself in a relationship with someone that is boring in bed, though, would you?
No.
You wouldn't take it that far.
Check first.
Yeah.
But what if everything else in the relationship was going well? Would you work on ways to make the sex more exciting rather than the
just
two?
Be friends.
Well, once upon a time, maybe. Mm. I may have done that, but I wouldn't do it again.
Mm. She's getting old.
I would just be friends.
She doesn't want to settle.
Well, that's right. And also, you know, friendship has its own amazing benefits. And I think if you have really crap sex with someone, you might as well be their friend and have great sex with someone else and
tell them all about it.
Everyone's happy.
Ideally.
I'm not making the most sex.
All right. Next on the list.
Number five, low self-esteem. So if you've got low self-esteem, it's always a good ego boost to go out and get picked up.
Now, I find that this is a really unfortunate reason to cheat, but I have to say it's not implausible.
It's not implausible at all.
No, it's really, really...
You two with your big words.
It's really... No, I just think it's really sad that, you know, people need that kind of thing to make them feel better about themselves.
I don't think it's necessarily that you need it, but, like, you know, sex is one of those things that's pretty much always available if you want it. So, you know, if it's there and you're feeling crap, then
you
I guess
try
it's pretty
living
easy.
You cans.
Okay. Oh, look, I'm from Tasmania, all right? Yeah.
And this is the reason you'll be moving back to Melbourne next month.
One day I'll be moving back to Melbourne.
All right. So.
All right. No intimacy is number six.
But what do you mean exactly by that?
Well, you've lost the intimacy. There's no intimacy. So you've got to that point where you do the shopping together and you sit at home and sit on the couch together, separate couches. And possibly, you know, the intimacy is lost in the relationship.
But intimacy is not... You're talking about intimacy, not just sexual intimacy.
No,
but
I'm talking about intimacy all over.
You just...
Well, the list not is, not me. But, yeah.
Close anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, then, yeah, definitely. I've done that.
Yeah. No emotional input. So, you know, I'm sure we can all
By
relate.
Whom?
When we can get to a stage in a relationship when communication breaks down. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really... It's a double-edged sword, this one, because I go back to my, oh, my God, I just had sex and I need to talk about my feelings that I've had and how do you feel about this? You know, the whole lesbian relationship thing where you need to talk about everything that you're feeling.
After sex?
Well, not necessarily after sex.
All the time, really.
All the
after
time,
sex
really. But after
that.
Sex it is. Like, I know, don't spew. But it's true, like some because you have such an emotional outburst in sex, sometimes a lot of stuff comes up.
That's true.
So no emotional input, number seven. The old you cheated first, so then I cheated on you comes
That's
in at number eight.
That's a revenge one.
It is revenge, but revenge is... I think revenge is more for a breaking trust, not necessarily because someone's cheated. Mm. But that's just my interpretation.
Like a you deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah, like you can't say anything.
This is really depressing.
I'm telling you, we're going to move on to some
it's
funny
music. Right, quite great. Bad about myself.
I'm on number nine. Sayonara. So basically, it
breaking
is
breaking up. A
you discover
break
your Japanese.
Up with the person, huh?
You discover your Japanese.
Yeah.
And therefore, can't be in the relationship
anymore
because it's not allowed in their cult. Yeah. So basically, it's your excuse for it to be over. You were not emotionally invested
in it. Oh, I've done that.
I've actually heard this happen quite a lot.
Yep.
That people decide that that's the way that they're going to break up their relationship
because they can't get out of it any other way.
Well, how about just having a breakup talk?
Well, I have to admit, I actually did this once many, many years ago, and I was quite young then. And I just couldn't think of any other way out of it. I didn't do it deliberately. I mean, I ended up.
Surely there's an easier way to break up a relationship than cheating on someone. And how do you guarantee that's going to break up the relationship anyway? They could be a really, really lovely, forgiving soul.
But you would know that from the relationship.
Well, actually, that was my experience.
Really?
Yep. So then I had to leave anyway. So, yeah, it was really unpleasant.
Ooh.
And I swore I would never do that to someone again.
And did you?
Yes.
Lesson learnt. Excellent.
Yep. Look, my thing is, if you want to cheat, you've got to look at what's wrong or missing from your current relationship.
I'm not pretending to be morally righteous here or anything.
She's got her angel wings on, Kat. I can see them.
I can see them too.
Speaking as someone who has never cheated, I really think that they just high-fived each other. Who don't have the benefit of watching what's going on. I just think that surely cheating is a symptom of bad things happening in the relationship, and maybe you can take action before it gets to the point where people feel the need to cheat on each other, whether that's, you know, sort of communicating better, whether that's talking about why the relationship is breaking down, or if it's unsalvageable, then breaking up,
look,
right?
No, I agree.
Is that stupid?
No.
I completely agree.
It's not implausible, Fred. I agree. It's just that, we're actually going to go on and talk about different relationship styles, and I actually think that the cheating thing fits into
a couple of styles.
Yeah, a couple of styles, and
cheating is a relationship
It's not a relationship style. What I'm saying is, if I think there can be fundamental incompatibilities in a relationship.
Yes.
So not everyone is, you know, naturally monogamous. In fact, I would probably go so far to say as no human is naturally monogamous.
They're not. Ooh, remember we did that on the other show. It's 74% or something of mammals or something ridiculous like that. And humans are actually not in that group.
But whales are.
Yeah.
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 I just made that up. Okay.
They could be.
It's possible.
All right. So we'll come back and we'll start talking about different relationship styles and why cheating
how it figures.
Having multiple partners can be
say something? Like, honest, with what you were saying about with your halo and everything and your angel wings on, how awesome is that breakup talk? Like, it's something that you look forward to, isn't it? Like, some people aren't brave enough or don't have the communication skills within the relationship to do that. So they go, all right, I'm just going to go out and puck somebody else. I said P-cat. And that will, you know, basically break up the relationship.
Do you think that actually people put that much thought into it?
Yes, because it's the easy way out.
I think they do.
How many times have you taken the easy way out in life sometimes?
Okay.
Let's put on a song
moving
now.
Moving right along.
We're going to go into a great cheating song here. Melissa Etheridge, Bring Me Some Water.
Want to just tell us what that was all about?
What was going through your head?
And how on PC that was, really.
So, that was Stutter Up by Morris Minor and the Majors. It brought a very big smile to Kat's face, who actually knew all of the words. And yeah, look, un-PC on the stuttering thing, but it is actually a song that was promoting back in the day. It was late 80s, early 90s it came out, and it was quite a big song. They're one hit wonder. And I sent you both a text and said, right, let's have a theme for the music. And you both came back with, or Freen came back with, no, let's broaden it and don't just do it about saying. So I thought I'd throw in Stutter Up just to get you.
Yes, for all those stutterers out there, you can rap. Right?
This is what I'm saying.
Okay, great.
See, it is PC.
So welcome back to Dystopical.
And if you're just joining the conversation with us now.
It's not actually about bad 80s music.
No, it's not. It's actually about relationships and different relationship styles and the issue of
cheating. Sometimes people stutter in relationships.
Sometimes they do.
Anyway, if you want to weigh in, you can text us at 0427-JOY-949. And you can always email us at dear.dystopical@joy.org.au. All right. So tell us about different relationship styles.
Well, I think that it's probably important first up to talk about monogamy. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a really important one.
Well, it's the social norm.
Mm.
It's lots of people do this.
Yes, they do.
There are obviously...
Mostly well, I hope.
Okay. Freen, why don't you tell us what you perceive monogamy to be?
All right. Well, for me, monogamy is...
Hey, Lou.
That's why she's talking about it, Katie.
Is loving one person, having sexual, sort of having a sexual relationship with one person, the same person that you love, and basically conducting your life with one partner to the exclusion of all other people.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
That is actually it.
Right. And let me know if you have a different point of view than
no,
me
I
on
was,
this.
No, I'm, you know, I'm...
Did Wikipedia say something different?
No, it didn't. Don't say that. I always tell my students they're not allowed to. They're allowed to read Wikipedia, but they're never allowed to reference it. Yes, you are correct. So, all right, Farin, what's good about... Tell us what's good about monogamy.
Well, I don't think I can do things any other way. So for me, that seems to be...
Oh, well, that's good then.
Yeah, that seems to be the path. Yeah.
Few mammals.
Yes, I am one of those whales. It's true. Look, I've tried to do things other ways, but I just don't think I'm kind of cut out for it. And I think that that's something that you grow into and know at some point through experiencing, I guess,
yep.
Different types of relationship styles is what it is that you can do and what you can't do. And
I've lived with you. You don't even like to share your kitchen, let alone your women.
Correct. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Possessiveness leads to monogamy.
It's quite interesting because monogamy is obviously the social norm.
Mm.
However, one of the things about the queer community that I guess the non-queer community, whatever they're called, the straight community.
Breeders.
Find unusual, I guess, is that there are so many different relationship styles. I mean, and of course they exist in the straight community as well.
For sure.
But I guess that the queer community is generally more open to trying, you know, different ways of being in relationships with people. And monogamy, I'm sure, like I've been in monogamous relationships, obviously, and there's lots of good things about them. Right. Stability. Stability is a good thing. Also, I mean, I guess you have that experience where you learn and you grow with someone and you feel safe.
For me, I think the learning and the growing, and I'm not saying that this is right for everyone, but I think for me the learning and the growing is I can only really attach to one person in that way. I can only sort of love one person at a time. I don't see how I could share, you know, that love. Like, it just seems to be very, very much focused on getting it and giving it back with one person. And I would think I'd almost be, you know, jealous if my partner was into someone else.
What do you mean almost jealous?
I would actually be jealous. Yeah, I think I would.
Plus women, like...
Well, I would too, but...
Never admit it. Plus women are like we can be a handful.
Mm.
But, and, you know, I think managing one woman, I'm in a monogamous relationship myself at the moment and plan to be in it for quite a while. Hello, darling. I think that managing just one woman is enough of a handful, let alone having the time to manage more than one. And
so the logistics of it is a really good rational argument for actually just being in one relationship.
Well, logistics come into my relationship very much so, as I live interstate.
Okay, so now here's a form of monogamous relationship, long-distance relationship.
The old long-distance. Oh, I like to call myself a long-distance veteran. it seems that every relationship I get into is with somebody that's interstate or I'm interstate.
Is this deliberate?
No, it's not. Like,
she's avoiding intimacy.
I like intimacy.
This leads to cheating, as you know, so be careful.
I live in Cairns. We have one gay night a month.
I've been to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that was a good one. So, being that trust thing comes into it with monogamy as well, you know.
That's a really important word, I think.
Trust. Trust and communication.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I am into... Now in my old age of 32, I'm into full disclosure.
What does that mean?
All right, so if my partner asks me a question, if my partner says to me, my beautiful partner, says to me, have you ever cheated? I say, yes, I have. Because although I feel like awful about it, I was about to say another word, I feel awful about it, it was a long time ago, but I have cheated, which brings, you know,
not in your current relationship.
No, definitely. Yeah. No, not in my current relationship. But we spoke about it very early on.
Yeah.
Very early on. We spoke about it very early.
Now, we talked about, like, the mechanics of being in whatever kind of relationship, monogamous, non-monogamous. We'll talk about non-monogamous in a sec. But, like, with long-distance relationships, how does it actually change things? Because when you're in a relationship with someone, you're in the same place, you're doing things together, like you're going to the movies, you're going shopping, you know, you're making dinner together.
Yeah.
All those things kind of go away.
Yeah, they do. Like,
so how do you make up for that?
Okay, so I can only speak from experience.
Yeah.
With, I was in a relationship a while ago that didn't work so well because the person was very needy.
Mm.
And so the long distance thing didn't pan out with them for many a reasons, but neediness was definitely one of them.
Mm.
I'm lucky enough to be in a beautiful relationship at the moment and hoping to be for a while. I'm lucky enough to be in a beautiful relationship where my girlfriend works with the long distance thing.
Mm.
She's not needy. If I get home and I'm tired, we'll talk on the phone or we'll text. And there's no, I need to talk to you for the next hour because I haven't seen you all day or anything like that. We Skype regularly. We talk every day.
So being independent and being happy with kind of your life.
Well, yeah.
Is an important part of that, I guess.
And then when she comes up to visit or I come down here, I mean, it's so exciting because the two lives mold. Like, I get to see her in her everyday life and she gets to see me in my everyday life, and every time we get to see each other, which is probably once to twice a month, we you know, it's exciting. Like, I get to hold her hand and, you know, kiss her on the forehead, and it's the little things.
Does that mean that the honeymoon period gets prolonged?
Well, I told you on the last show I was on that I believe that you can keep the honeymoon period forever, and I really do think that I really do think that it does prolong it, you know, but then there's emotional stress that comes into it as well. Like, if there's ever, I'm injured at the moment and have been not working and have been really down. And so there's been those times in the last couple of weeks where I'd love nothing more for her to come over and cook for me and to give me a big hug.
So that domesticity and that kind of support isn't there.
Yeah,
as well.
That's not there.
Yeah.
But at the other end of the scale, you know, we both are very busy. We both work shift work. You know, even if I did live in Melbourne, you know, there would be rare times that we do get to see each other, whereas, you know, we're quite happy that we know that this is where we're at the moment.
So all time together is really quality time,
I guess. It is, yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Except when we're hormonal.
Okay.
That's a part of every lesbion relationship.
Yeah, that doesn't even count because, you know, everyone goes through that bit. All right, so moving on to non-monogamy. Kat, define this one.
Well, it's when you're not monogamous.
Oh, really? Okay.
Free for all.
Well, not necessarily free for all.
It can be free for one.
Now, apparently there's rules to this.
Well, no, non-monogamy is actually kind of a blanket term, I guess. There's lots of different kinds of relationships that that can be included under the banner of non-monogamy. I guess what we generally mean when we talk about it in a, you know, like your sort of basic general sense, people tend to think of relationships where you're still with someone, as in you have a primary partner, and but you're allowed to sleep with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, I mean, that can... It can be like non-monogamy can be like group marriages or, you know, polyamorous relationships. But generally people mean, you know, that you've got a primary partner and then sleep with other people.
Yes. Yeah. Look, I know people at an undisclosed location that have been in a relationship. There was two of them originally and they invited a third person into the relationship.
Yeah.
And there's one person in that relationship that sleeps with both women, but the other two don't sleep with each other. It's like night on, night off kind of thing.
Yeah.
They've been together for quite a few years and it kind of works for them. You know, I find it interesting and intriguing, but at the same respect, I'm an Aries. Like, I don't even like to share my side of the desk with Kat at the moment, let alone share my woman. Like,
all right, so that sounds like polyamory, and we might come back and talk about that in a sec, but you've got a couple of tunes for us, don't you?
I do. If you could flick it to number 8 while I talk about this. Okay, so this is a song I would hope never to play for my girlfriend, but it was my segue into long distance. It's Love Long Distance by The Gossip, of course.
Nice one.
Oh.
All right, so tell us what we were listening to there.
That was The Nicest Thing by Kate Nash, which I think is one of the most beautiful songs ever written.
I haven't heard it before.
I saw you having a little soppy moment there almost with your tears even.
It's the bit that gets me that I wish and the two sugars when I actually meant three. Like I just, it's so deep.
No, surely no one has three sugars in their tea anymore.
It's not the point. It's
I know people.
Sentimentality of the lyrics,
Kat. You know I'm not romantic.
No. Not by a long shot. Okay, so monogamy.
Non-monogamy.
Non-monogamy. Actually, yeah, monogamy.
To wrap up, non-monogamy, so tell us.
I guess we were going to talk about things that we think work and don't work in non-monogamous relationships. I've had a couple and one worked and one didn't work.
drawing from this vast experience.
It's not really vast. Well, the first one, I guess, was it was a very carefully made and long made agreement with a partner who I didn't actually have sex with anymore.
That's on my list of nine things.
We had but we also had communication.
Trumps everything else.
And I guess we were best friends. So we had an agreement that I was allowed to sleep with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And that actually was fine. In the end, we broke up because I thought that it was time for us both to pursue our sexual relationships further.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a non-monogamous relationship. Oh, and that was all fine and all done really well.
All ended well?
Yes, and we're still friends.
Great.
But one I had, which didn't end that well, was non-monogamous, and it seemed to be going really fine. She had a partner of, a long time, many years, who actually lived in another country, and she spent half her time here and half her time in that country, and had long-term other relationships for many years while being with this person, who I'm never quite sure if the partner knew about me or not. She said she did, but I just didn't quite believe her. Anyway, I never met her.
Trust. What's going on here?
Are we foreseeing the end? Anyway, so I...
So the lesson from that was...
Yeah, well, I slept with other people while she was overseas, but I had never really done it while she was here.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it like really openly and, laughed and joked about it. And everything seemed fine. I was cool about the fact that she had a partner. And then the problem happened when she was in the country and I had started sleeping with someone here and I had decided I wanted to keep doing it. And when by keep doing it, we're talking about like it was like the third time.
Mm-hmm.
And she put her foot down and was really, really upset about it.
So the problem is when it's not reciprocal in a non-monogamous relationship.
That had never come up before because I'd only ever done it while she wasn't here. But when she was here in... we weren't living together or anything, but when she was actually in Melbourne, she really couldn't handle it. And so we talked about it. Because I had a date with this person and she was extremely upset. And I said, look, I tell you what, I won't go this time because, you're really upset. But I'm going to reschedule this date because, it's not fair. And then I did actually go on that date a week later and she broke up with me.
There has to be rules in non-monogamous relationships. I think
is not a free-for-all.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, it certainly isn't a free-for-all. But I was really surprised when she... sort of broke up with me about it because I wasn't breaking any – I actually wasn't breaking any rules. Like, I didn't do
anything
wrong.
But had you actually – and this is the thing. Had you actually set out rules for –
Well, you sit down and talk about it. I mean, that's the open communication that's essentially
not
right.
No, we didn't, and this is the problem.
And this is it. If you're – whatever relationship you're embarking on, I think – the thing you have to do first and foremost is sit down and say, what kind of relationship are we going to have?
Yeah.
And what are the rules of this relationship?
Absolutely.
No matter, if they're monogamous, non-monogamous, it doesn't really matter. I think
as long as you know from the outset. And I know that now. I just naively assumed that because she had a life partner of like 20 years that, obviously it would be cool if I was seeing other people as well. But
all right.
It didn't turn out that way.
Okay. So I have made up the Dear Dystopical question this week just because I felt like it. And it's actually a question that I do wonder about. And that is, what if you're really, really into someone, but you have very different relationship styles? One of you is monogamous, the other one is non-monogamous, or one of you is monogamous, the other one is polyamorous. What do you do?
No. Get out while you can.
You break up. That's the only answer.
Be friends.
I mean, if someone is not naturally monogamous and someone is... I've tried this as well. You can do your best for a while, but eventually I think you end up resenting each other.
You can't change somebody, and you shouldn't walk into a relationship wanting to change somebody.
And I mean, you know, you can feel upset about the fact that, you know, they're naturally monogamous or non or whatever, something that you aren't. And, you know, you can be upset and pissed off for a while, but fundamentally it's just not going to work.
Right, so lessons from today: trust, communication, honesty.
Find out what people want.
Good sex. All right.
Great music.
So we're going to have... Thank you.
Or 80s crap, as the case may be.
All right, so we're going to call it a wrap for today, but stick around and listen to TJ and Keza coming right up.
This last song is called Bella, also known as Beautiful, by Angus and Julia Stone for My Little Miss.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.